Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum and welcome to Narrative Aspirations. We're going to get started in just a moment. We welcome all of our listening audience to another episode of Narrative Aspirations. When we aspire, we go higher. Join us each and every Wednesday night from 7 to 9 p.m. as we highlight the movers and the shakers in our community who use their God-given talents to help we make the world into another place for all people. Tonight, we are going to be sharing a little more information about going back to school and the things that we need to do to keep us physically, emotionally, and psychologically prepared for the school year. We are going to play the intro in just a second. We were searching that up, and inshallah, it will come up. Thank you for joining us today on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice is protected. We're going to go ahead and start out with a PSA. Inshallah, we'll be right back.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim Malik Yawm Al-Din. Iyaka Na'budu Wa Iyaka Nasta'in. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين.
You're listening to American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected.
Community-wide Shura and AM 360 invites you to promote your organization or event on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation. Affordable rates allow you to promote your event to strengthen our national intelligentsia and network. Contact underwriting today at cwsconline@gmail.com. That's cwsconline@gmail.com or call 910-317-0297. 910-317-0297. Together, we can remake this world into a better place.
The views expressed by the host guests are their own and not necessarily the position of AM 360 or the parent corporation, the Community-Wide Shura Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM 360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the host or hostesses of AM 360 or CWSC. We encourage you to seek an advisor for your specific circumstance.
Here at Community Wide Share Conference, we think you're a pretty special part of our group intellect. After all, we all have unique skills, ability, or knowledge. But none of us are skilled enough to drive while texting, talking on or looking at our phones. It's just dangerous, and life can change in a split second. Be safe and wait. A public service message from AM360 and the CWSC.
CDC is working to help keep you and your community safe from the threat of a novel or new coronavirus. There are steps you can take now to get ready if an outbreak occurs in your community. Make a household plan. Learn how to prepare and to take quick action if someone gets sick. Older adults and people with chronic medical conditions are at greater risk. Take extra steps to protect them. Think about what you will do if there are changes to your work schedule. And remember to always practice good health habits, such as frequently washing hands with soap and water, staying home when sick, and covering coughs and sneezes. For more information, visit cdc.gov.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This is Sister Khalida Akbar Abdul Aziz, Program Manager for American Muslim 360. CWSC is inspired by the visionary leadership of the late Imam W.D. Muhammad, Rahimahullah alayh, and his proposition that our communities need a studious group of persons, or an intelligentsia, studying our history and circumstances and envisioning a brighter future for succeeding generations to live better in America. In 1999, an important step was taken to fulfill the shared vision of structuring an intelligentsia with a national think tank capable of serving first our communities and then eventually national and global interests. We welcome you to American Muslim 360 listenership. Thank you. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
In Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, we are back. We have a caller in the queue. We're going to go to 504-488. Assalamu alaikum. What is your question?
Well,
alaikum
assalam. This is Bilal, North Louisiana. There's something I wrote that I'd like to share.
Yes, welcome back.
One God, Bilal, welcome back. I'm glad to be back. One God for all, except with your talk. We praise God. The praise belong only to him alone. This is what keeps us strong. Prophet Muhammad is the best example for humanity, building our own school, sincerity and prosperity. School days, truth days, good deeds, respect the rule day. You can't lose faith. Wisdom increase faith. With God, we are safe. Excellent curriculum, solving student problems, helping Sally and Tim, Abdullah, Aisha, Bilal, and South Dakota Sim, the keys that benefit, stay out of the negative mix, holiness and truthfulness, compassion, openness, integrity, knowledge for peace, serving humanity. Your souls are free, now they can teach or preach, supplying neighborly needs, take the burden off America with our intelligentsia, revelation, best education, the salvation dedicated to the mission, improving relations. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam, brother. Thank you so much, Brother Bilal, for sharing that. And we look forward to many more. We hope that that is going to help us prepare as we go back to the school year. We help all our families and our students are prepared. And, yes, we definitely need to focus on those things that you mentioned in your poem. And so welcome back, and may Allah continue to bless you. We're glad you're here.
Alhamdulillah.
Thank you. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam.
All right, caller. So you heard it from Brother Bilal. If you have any questions or comments about what you just heard on his poem and the importance of us, of education and keeping ourselves healthy and thriving with our intelligentsia, press 1 at this time to come into the queue. Tonight we're going to start out talking about health. We were talking about last Wednesday about having a strategic plan for having a successful school year. So we're going to pick up on that, and then we are going to listen to Imam W.D. Muhammad Rahimullah Alay and let him continue to inspire us to go higher. Narrative aspirations, when we aspire, we do indeed go higher, inshallah. So one of the things that, if you notice, on the PSA that I previously played, it still talked about COVID-19. So it is on the rise again. I don't know which variant it is, but still be mindful. Students are not being asked to wear masks at school, but they are asked to just wash their hands and, you know, just be mindful of the cleanliness that surrounds them, okay? And just make sure that you also prepare your child, your student, put a couple masks in their bag in case they happen to sit next to a student who is coughing, sneezing, because a lot of students, if they have those small, minor annoyances, they still come to school. And, you know, it could be something more than what their parents think it is. So if they're sitting next to someone who's constantly coughing, and I have seen it and I have done it myself, I had a child put on a mask. But really, if I was you, we asked the child to put on a mask, you know, but he was sitting really close in really close vicinity to about six other students. And I did ask him, this was the end of last school year. School for students hasn't started yet. But anyway, he was very cooperative, and he put the mask on. And they were sharing, like, some building blocks. It was at an after-school program. And he was continuously coughing, and it was a heavy cough. Like, you could hear the mucus. And so I was just surprised that no one else had already told him to do that prior to me getting there, because I work at a school full-time in the morning. So just remember, pack up a couple masks for your students if they need to. If they're around someone who is coughing or sneezing excessively, and they don't feel safe, they can pull one out of their binder, their book bag, or what have you. Thank you for listening. The next thing I want you to do is make sure you put a little bit, and I'm sure many parents do, just a teeny bit of natural hand sanitizer. I know that we have to be careful with the chemicals that are in hand sanitizer, but they do have organic rubbing alcohol sanitizer. So look for the ingredients that have alcohol in them, and just a little bit of water. You don't need a whole lot of those other ingredients, because they cannot, they are unhealthy, and all of them are not healthy for young children. Oh, in addition to that, I wanted to remind you that we are going to be highlighting Imam Shahid Abdullah. He is starting his own program. Okay, so I gave him a break this week. Inshallah, he was trying to call me and see what we were going to do, but I want him to focus on his brilliant program that he has established. You are going to be so delighted with his programs, and he sends salutations to everyone. He has been coming on Narrative Aspirations, sharing a lot about his vision, a lot about culture over this last year, and he has been inspired by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to join the American Muslim 360 family. So please give him shout out. He will, when he completes his training, he will be tuning in, and we'll give you more information on that specific date so you can be present at his first debut, inshallah. All right? So we have another caller. We're going to go to 706-627. Assalamu alaikum, and welcome to Narrative Aspirations.
Well, alaikum assalam. It's Brother Muhammad from the Ummah of Prophet Muhammad, by the way, of Columbus, Georgia. And I just want to share with you the inspiration that Allah has given all of us. Yeah, my grandson, he came down with COVID at school Friday. And he didn't give it to her, but then his grandmother caught it too. And then I didn't get it, but we're coming out of our 10-day isolation program, and we thank Allah much that it's not seems going to be serious, you know, too bad of an effect on all of us. But again, ratifying what you're saying, you know, because I've got plenty of supplies, always have since the COVID started, and I, yes, every day every day since the COVID-19. I've always reminded my grandson, where is my ass? Where is my ass? Where is my ass? And he's doing real good in school too this year. You know, he's in the marching band and stuff like that. And, again, you have to keep warning our children, whether they listen to it or not. You're not there to monitor them. You know, I thought sometimes I would try to get some of the teachers to keep an eye on him for me and remind him to wear his mask when he's engaged in conversation with someone or whatever. Evidently, somewhere in the band structure Friday, he got sick. He came home. He was sick, and he got sick. So we went immediately the next morning, went to the health department, and got checked. And they was tested positive. So, yes, you are right. It's very important that we keep the dicker and the taqwa up on our children about this COVID. It ain't gone nowhere. Yes, it is growing. And I'm praying now. He's 17. This is his last year in high school. I'm praying that this little warning from Allah, you know, because I'm trying to tell him when you go back, when you know, Monday, make sure that you think that it could be somebody else's child. You know, keep your mask on, you know, and they can take it home to their grandparents or their mother. And they might not be as fortunate and blessed as Allah has been for us in our trial this time around, you know. But it's real. It ain't gone nowhere. And then the other thing I wanted to say right quick, just to be messing, since it's education, I always like to mess with Bilal every chance I get. So if you listen, yeah. Bilal, I just wanted to say, your point is being a constructive criticism. You seem like you are now gearing your lyrics and rhymes toward the intellect and people, because it's hard for the soul to grasp that wonderful rhythm, that wonderful wisdom that you used to share that I've been listening to for years, you know? So I've been building up the strength to say it, but since I listened to you read again this few minutes during the beginning of the program, so whatever it's worth, may Allah bless you to see some wisdom in someone who loves you and love what you're doing, but it made me think about how Allah say, always remember, try to please me and not the people in whatever you do. So I'm saying to keep the spirit, you know, but I'm just saying someone who's used to you, been listening to you for 5, 6, 7 years, you come from, and it seems like it's going farther and far away from the soul, from the heart, and it's getting geared toward the intellect, you know, and a rhythm that is going more toward commercialization instead of wisdom. So, inshallah, I pray that I haven't said anything wrong. But I want to hear some of them good rhymes, brother. You know, the ones used to make me turn up the music when I said, oh, but I'm going to say something. I didn't want to miss it. You know what I'm saying? So I just wanted to say that. Just messing with him. Just being a brother to him. I just wanted to miss it because I do miss his spirit when he be sharing what Allah is putting his soul to share to another human being's soul, you know, in the language that we speak. Just want to say that. And thank you both much. And two serious things both of y'all were talking about. Yes, sir. Thank you, but assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. And thank you, Brother Muhammad. From Georgia, we keep you and your family in our du'as. Oh, Allah, a'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Oh, Allah, we are grateful that you have kept Brother Muhammad and his grandson and his family under your care, and you have blessed them with shifa. We ask for your continued protection, knowledge, and guidance in this season. And we ask that you continue to protect all of us. And we thank him for sharing and keeping that at the forefront of our conversation tonight. Health is wealth. So thank you. And we hope that your grandson does a very good job in his band. We're looking forward to hearing some more good things about him because we love our youth.
Oh, he's
thank
in
you
ROTC.
So much.
He's in ROTC too. He's in ROTC and the regular band and the marching band.
That's amazing because that's the way to keep them engaged in school for extracurricular activities and that balance of academics. Thank you for being a leader in that.
Yes, ma'am. Abin and Shakran.
Amen.
I mean, thank you. Assalamu alaikum.
Well,
you give him our greetings.
I will.
All right, so call us tonight. If you're just joining us, as I see some of you are, we're talking about back-to-school tips, and we're talking about keeping healthy. We just had Brother Muhammad share his personal experience, brush with COVID, recently. And so they are making the announcement that it's on the rise again. But, of course, with any seasonal change and when people are migrating different places and moving to get prepared for school, we have to make sure that we are still practicing the protocols for keeping ourselves healthy. Whatever that looks like for your family, keep a mask if you can in your child's book bag or two, you know, so they can use it if needed when necessary, because people do not generally send their children to school prepared, and they do send them to school with minor coughs and runny noses and sneezing. And, you know, because they, most of the time, they just assume it's an allergy or something like that. So just make sure you have your child prepared, even if someone else's child is doing that. And if your child is doing that, make sure you keep them home if you can, and give them plenty of vitamin C and plenty of rest. And just keep an eye on things and make sure it's nothing serious. All right? In addition to that, we talked about putting some self-hand sanitizer, some natural hand sanitizer. Now, I don't have the documentation on this, so I don't know the evidence behind it, but I did have a teacher that I work with who's now retired. Her name is Ms. Clues, and she said her doctor advised her not to use that hand sanitizer, because they used to give us a big industrial strength hand sanitizer in the classrooms. But she said she definitely didn't give it to her kindergartners at that time, was what she taught, because she said it did something. He said it could mess with her thyroid. So let's do our research on that. I remember her telling me that. And ever since then, I made sure that I didn't use it with the real small children. And also, I never really use it. I like water and soap. So we go to the bathroom, we wash our hands every time, before lunch, after we come in from recess. But some teachers just like that, because the schedules are on, you know, we're trying to stay on schedule, and then they pick up more germs sometimes going in and out of the bathroom and want to play and things like that. They just feel like if they line up and I give a squirt, 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 squirt down the line and they rub, they're good. And that is better than not washing their hands, but nothing compares to soap and water, and they tell us that at school. So I know these may seem like minor things, but they go a long, long way, a long, long way. And some teachers, even just before the class comes in, they squirt every class that comes into their classroom, especially if they're rotating classes for middle and high school. They squirt each child. But if you provide sanitizer, make sure it's natural sanitizer. It doesn't have a lot of chemicals in it. Alcohol should be pretty much a natural-based alcohol, organic materials. You can get that, the ones that are light and not real heavy and thick, you know. And so, inshallah, I hope that helps. In addition to that, you can also have wipes in your child's bag if you would like them to wipe off a surface, or have hand wipes if they're not able, because they do not, they're very restrictive on bathrooms, because they have a lot of things that go on in a bathroom. So they have to have escort going to the bathroom in middle school, and it's very regimented. They can't just up and go to the bathroom by themselves. We have to call somebody. And then we have to make sure nobody else is in the bathroom, and we have to watch them to and from the bathroom. So that tells you something. Society has really changed, girls and boys. We don't want them to go into the bathroom together. So we have to really be aware of that, and just talk to your children about privacy, of not being in a stall with anyone else, you know, and not doing things that are inappropriate, because they are really focusing on that because of the incidences that are occurring. In addition to that, make sure that you also speak to your child about, if they're in middle school, no using drugs in a bathroom, no weed. This is what I was told. We were told at our staff meeting, no weed, no vaping. And if you see smoke in our classroom, we're supposed to call security. So these are extensive trainings that we used to not have. So please, if you have children or grandchildren, talk to them about certain things. We know that we don't use drugs, but just don't assume that, and I know we don't assume, and I don't want to say it like we do, but just be aware that there are things going on that are peaking our training and making training for the school year, back to school for teachers, more intense. We also have a lot of online training that we have to do. And we even go as far as, what is that called? Human trafficking. They're big on that. We have to have a whole lot of modules on a lot of different things, molestation, et cetera, and what to look for, because we are really the child's, most of the time, a child's first defense and the first people who can see things that the child may be comfortable with sharing. Or even if they don't share, we can see little changes in behavior. So we're doing our part. We just asked you to make sure that you talk to your family and make sure that they know that they are supposed to be respected by everybody, girls and boys. You should just send the girls out to go to the bathroom, but what they're finding is that they go in the bathroom together. And we have to just, I'm just being open and honest with you, we have to be careful. Especially at the middle school age. Now, I don't know if they're confused or what the problem is, and I don't want to say it's confusion, but because I believe they know that no one should go into the bathroom with them, you know, but we just need to make sure that they understand and they have clarity that it's a personal situation when you use the bathroom that's private and your body is sacred. And so with that said, and boys as well, we have to make sure that they are know that their body is sacred and no one goes into the stall with them. And, you know, that's why we're doing our part to escort them. But we do the best that we can and we make sure that they also know that what's right from wrong and how to protect themselves, all right? In addition to that, we're going to talk a little bit about being prepared, preparing for school, okay? I also want to mention that they don't really talk to your child about intimacy, because they don't really interfere if someone's hugging up on someone or even trying to kiss. What I've seen, they don't really interfere, especially in high school, because they feel like, you know, unless the bell has rung. But just talk to your child. Really talk to your child. You have to send them to school with a set of morals, because there's only so much that the school and the teachers are allowed to do. But you have, you know, they'll see them and they may look and turn out their head. But when the bell rings, then they'll hurry them along so it doesn't happen. But they don't physically break up anything, you know, because then they get into liability and things like that. But they do encourage them to go to class, stay in class, and they monitor the hallways and the bathroom. And but I would like to see a little more firmer stance on that, even in high school and middle school, firmer stance. Because they're still learning, and we have to be more strategic as a nation in helping them make good decisions. The schools are doing good jobs, but it's just not. I would expect a more of a prevention and more of a strategic way of not allowing certain things to just progress naturally, because kids are growing up and they have feelings. You know, we have to make sure that we talk to them, okay, and make sure that we keep it open and comfortable for them to come to us and share, okay, because they don't want to get into a conflict, and they don't want to be the parent, and they don't want to, because some students say, well, my mom knows, my dad lets us, we go here and... But in school, it is a place to learn, and we need to minimize those things that happen that should be held sacred. Okay? Oh, so let's go ahead and move on with that. We're going to talk a little bit about being prepared for school, making sure that your student has a pencil. I don't know what it is, but I think that when you're young and you're just excited to be at school, students seem to lose pencils from one block to the other, even in middle school. I'm talking about middle school. I know elementary, usually the teacher I have pencils that may stay in their class or give them one. But just being prepared. Talk to your student. I know parents buy pencils. I know they buy school supplies. But many students come, you'd be surprised, every day needing a pencil. even if we have Chromebooks, you know, we still need a pencil. Or when we give the Chromebooks out, many students come without it or it's not charged or they break it repeatedly. And the schools are cracking down on that because it's expensive to keep repairing Chromebooks. So parents, make sure there is a safe place for your child to put their Chromebooks. I've seen the windows busted out. Certain schools just have a high occurrence of it, you know, and they're trying to make sure that they provide technology for every student. And it's a process. They got to fix it. Sometimes it's 2 weeks. They have to send it off to the technology lab, and the student's sitting there in class, no technology, not able to log into the class, clowning around, or, you know, they have to write things down, and they're not really wanting to do that because everyone else is engaged in their Chromebook and able to interact with each other. We may have, like, an educational challenge or a game, like a Cahoots or a Blookit, where they go in and compete against each other, and that particular student is not able to do that. Or what I usually do is I'll pair them up with someone else. They can look at their Chromebooks and share, but you do not want that to happen because a lot of assignments now are electronic. They can do them on paper. We print them out as well for the students who constantly don't have a Chromebook, but it's a lot easier to just send a Word doc, or they have the actual document where you can just type right into it, like the document-based questions. They ask you a question, and right underneath it, you can go right back to the paragraph it's in. It's like a right-there answer, and they ask you it, and you just type it in on the side. Instead of just going and writing it all in, they type it and they push send. The school district has invested a lot of money in making it technology savvy and easy, user-friendly for them to click on day one, day two, day three. I know here in Charlotte, they have for social studies and English and many of our subjects. Since COVID, they had hired people to specifically our content writers, and they took the current content, enhanced it. But what the good thing is, they put in the graphic organizers. They put in the link for if you want to share a video on the topic. I mean, they put in the lesson, the standard. Everything is there. You can supplement and bring in more information and do, you know, an alternative lesson. But they give you really what you need from day one to the end of the year. They give you the tests, the assessments, the spelling words, vocabulary. They want to make sure that you are on point and you are getting the support as a teacher and the students are getting the content that they want covered in the North Carolina standards. And I'm not sure if every state has one that way, but, yes, it's a lot. Teachers have a lot of support in areas of lesson planning. They give you a whole template. Everything you need to do is right there. And, of course, you implement and supplement, and you can use your creativity, but just click on it. They can type right in a document and push send. So it's important to charge your child's Chromebook. It shouldn't come in every morning. The Chromebook's dead because, you know, they're not able to do anything, and so they charge it for maybe a couple hours, but then they have maybe 45 minutes before they go to the next classroom. Some schools have 60-minute blocks. Some schools have 90-minute blocks. But they have to charge it in our homeroom, so they're moving to the next class without a Chromebook. And so just keep that in mind. We need your support. We need you to be vigilant for your child and also enjoy being a parent and not putting a lot of pressure on you because we're doing our part. But we also want you to make your child's life a little bit easier. Okay. We have a question or comment. We're going to go to 904-488. Assalamu alaikum and welcome to Narrative Aspirations. Your question? Or comment, please.
Wa alaikum assalam. This is Bilal. Alhamdulillah.
Oh, I'm sorry. Your hand was. Yes. Did you have another question?
Nope. Oh, yeah. I already had a poem I wrote I'd like to share. You want to go to 904 for it?
No, it is 504. I had my computer way away.
No
I did
problem.
That last week.
Yeah.
It is 904.
I got it.
I mean, it's 504. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, alhamdulillah. I'd like to say my wife now. She's doing the school sub. And what it is you have, she had a school that took in the immigrants coming from overseas, you know. So right now she's floating around, though, but she's dealing with a head start right now. So, inshallah, she keep herself, you know, prepared. She's a health conscious person, so I'm just glad she'll be okay. Here's a point on what I like to say. I'm just glad. Good health, better than well. Take good care of yourself. Fiber, natural remedies, and herbs. Above all, keeping God first. Nutrition, helping people, and helping improve people's condition. Pandemic is on the rise. Drink a lot of water. God is on our side. COVID-19 is deadly and mean. Common sense is on the scene. Our insight is keen. I'm pro-natural and pro-vaccine. A good conversation for mutual consultation. Do all we can. Please take precautions. Wearing the mask isn't a fad. Illness is death. It definitely isn't sad. Our insight, excuse me, Brother Muhammad is a mentor and a believer's friend. We appreciate him again, hearing him again and again and again. Black Peter Earl is a good father system. We love Prophet Muhammad and appreciate his wisdom. Being sick isn't fun. Assalamu alaikum.
Brother Bilal, thank you so much. Can you hear me? Allahu Akbar. Thank you for sharing that. That's another righteous poem. And he's back. He's back listening, audience, and we are excited that he is back. Thank you so much.
Allahu Akbar. I'm glad to be back.
And what inspired you to write that poem?
The program, alhamdulillah. But I'm always keeping up with what's going on in the world out there. So, you know, alhamdulillah, and I'm glad that I'm here so I could write something about it. Alhamdulillah.
Yes, and that's what you use that gift for. As Brother Muhammad was telling you, keep using that gift, keep inspiring us, and keep bringing those points in a concise and powerful way so you can help us change the world. Thank you so much.
I can't stop now. Assalamu alaikum.
Oh, yes. Wa alaikum assalam. Please don't continue. So listen, audience, we are grateful that you are here with us today. I'm just sharing a little back-to-school tip based off of what I've seen and also based off of the training that we're getting, extensive training for teachers. We come back almost 2 weeks before students. We have a lot of professional development, a lot of building relationships with our students. Presentations. They want us to build solid relationships with your student. They want the student to feel comfortable coming to us to share anything, but they also want us to be approachable so students feel like they are loved because they truly do not learn from people that they do not feel like they're connected to. And so that is one of the things that we're doing to improve our self-awareness, to make sure our room is welcoming, whether it's real plants, flowers, you know, carpeting. We're doing what we can with the resources that we have, and we have some phenomenal classrooms. I know today I went and bought a carpet. We have open house tomorrow. People are revving up, making sure it's warm. We have potpourri going through. I see a lot of warm smells and bright colors. So we're doing our part as much as we can to make a classroom look comfy, and because I serve home away from home for the next 9 months. So make sure that when you go in to visit your child's teacher that you see something that inspires you, whether it's a poem, whether it's a poster, whether it's the colors in the room, and give your child's teacher something about your child that they can utilize to build a relationship with them. I know one of the things that I do and my daughter also does, we have these little cards, and most teachers are doing that now because open house is really not a time like a parent-teacher conference to sit down with you one-on-one. It's pretty much, this is our routine, this is our agenda, meet the teacher and move to the next teacher or the principal and look at the school, but it's not the time to, unless there's something that you need to discuss, to have a one-on-one, you can have a few minutes. But if you need to, of course, you can sit down with your child's teacher. But it's pretty much come in, get the agenda, the homework, the syllabus, if that's relevant, and just look around and see, get the feel of your child's teacher. Build a relationship with them. They're human beings. They're supposed to be able to relate to everyone and make sure that everyone feels a part of their classroom environment and that they are meeting students where they are and providing a variety of resources to help all students learn. And that is our goal. So make sure you see that, you feel that, and if not, you know, talk to your child's teacher. Email them. Ask them how their day was. And give them some information that your child that can help them build a relationship with your child and some things that they like, their colors, their favorite food. We ask usually for them to just tell me something about your child. you know, that, and they parents are write and write, and they give you a lot of great information. And so, and also, we're working on our reward systems, you know, because we don't want to give out candy all the time, but we do know children like that. So some teachers do, like, if they answer a question that's correct, not every day, but, you know, they may have, like, periodically they give out treats because no one's really responding, and they have that one child that raise their hand and participate and go, oh, you know, as positive reinforcement. You know, Sarah, great answer. You go, girl. Let me give Sarah her reward because she is paying attention in class, and that's just a strategy pretty much to get everyone involved and engaged. But as a teacher, I also do like the pairs. They like the pairs, and I know I said this before. I don't know, but the boys really like the pairs, and so do the girls, but the boys specifically, they get one, they come back for more, and I get, like, the bags of pears. So, alhamdulillah, make sure that you're also sending your child to school with healthy fruits if you do give them a snack, because most schools nowadays, they prepare, everyone gets a breakfast and lunch at no cost. It's just across the board. You just come in, they feed everybody breakfast and lunch, and they're pretty healthy, and they even have hummus and some veggie meals. So, and then, you know, so just make sure that you are making sure your child is not hungry during class period. Teachers try their best, and that's part of building that relationship and making them feel welcome to provide snacks when they can. I know my school years ago used to have, they even provided snack for the whole school, breakfast, lunch, and snack. But I don't know if all schools, it was an elementary school. I haven't seen any other schools doing that. But if the student has a snack, they may let them eat that in elementary school. But and then sometimes in middle school, like if they get hungry, but they're not really supposed to eat in class. So keep that in mind. So pass them something healthy that will tie them over. And if not, encourage them to eat the lunch, because I see students go through the lunch line every day, throw out the whole bag, and they have some good, healthy salad. I mean, really good salad. And they just get it, take the lunch, throw that out, get a bag of chips. You know, they go through the line because they have to get the lunch, I guess. They have to get the lunch. You know, that's our responsibility, to make them go through the line. We can't make them eat it, parents, but they have to get it. You know, so because we have to make sure we provide a healthy meal for them. And but most of them, I'm telling you, talk to them about the value of food. They get it, and they go straight to the trash can with the fruit, the vegetables. They may eat something that they like, maybe a cheese stick. But they put a lot of good fresh vegetables in those salads, and a lot of the students do eat it. But many of them just go straight to the trash can. You know, so we got to talk to them about being grateful and not wasting food. All right? And so the next thing I want to talk about is just, again, let me go back to the pencil thing, because I know I gave out a whole lot of pencils, and I am working on a strategy this year, because you can give them a pencil in first block. Each teacher can give the child a pencil. And some students, every block, all they had to do was walk right down the hall or right across the hall in some cases. By the time they got to the next teacher, they don't have a pencil. And it's almost unreal. So I said, listen, put your pencils in a book bag in a safe place. And I'm talking about middle school right now, you know, because most of the time elementary teachers would collect their pencils, but I don't typically collect them. But, you know, if they're in my homeroom, I give them one. And if I have them again before lunch, I had a class that would loop back around, nobody would have a pencil before lunch, a couple hours later. And so, you know, and I said, well, what did you do in your last class? Well, she took our pencils because we keep losing them, so she takes them. So I said, okay, so I'll have to collect them then before you leave, because some teachers do that. But my thing was with sanitary conditions. We have a whole abundance of pencils. I just let them keep it. But just encourage them to be more responsible is what I'm saying. We have an abundance of pencils because their school plans for that. They just accepted the fact that that's what happens, and they provide. But we're trying to make them responsible. You know, you should be able to keep a pencil, you know, throughout the day, especially if you get one first thing in the morning and we ask you to zip it up before you go. Another thing is the playfulness with the pencils, even in middle school, throwing them, breaking them, you know, just leaving them on the floor when they leave. So as a teacher, what we do is have a structured way of entering our classrooms and a structured way of leaving our classrooms. So work with your student on structure. because they're coming down really hard on us because they're already anticipating and being proactive to minimize behavioral occurrences. They have a BMT on every floor, at least two, which is a behavior management technician. They're the only ones who can remove a child from your room or restrain one if they have to. And they also have a school psychologist. They have counselors. They have all that. We met them all. They hired plenty of them, you know. So just make sure that your child's getting your attention at home as well, so they don't think that they need all types of negative attention when they come out to the school. All right? So just think about that a little bit. And if you have a pencil pouch, I know I have several pencil pouches, and last week I spoke to you about Classroom Central. So if you can go on to Classroom Central, I think it's .org. I'm not sure, but just Google Classroom Central here in Charlotte, North Carolina. If you're able to donate, mashallah, that's a good organization, because what happens is all the businesses like Lowe's, Home Depot, what is the places that you, Office Depot, I mean, and different places like Bic and Pencil, they donate so many supplies, free school supplies, staplers, hole punchers, STEM kits, anything you can name, and even designs for your classroom, book bags that are already packed. I think each teacher gets two. You used to get more. But you can go every month, once a month, based off of your school. The school has a contract with them, the school district. But they have – everything's brand new. You just go pick it up, count out your quantity, and keep it moving, and you check out. They have books. You get up to 20 books. They have workbooks. They have – based on a grade level and age, and you can mix it up if you teach in multiple grade levels or you're using some even at home. So it's a really great resource. So Classroom Central – it's a great resource if you want to have some organization that you donate to, because it really helps. They give us highlighters, markers, Sharpies, everything. Like I said, staplers, staples, hole punchers, what else? Bags, teacher bags, and goodie bags, and incentives for students, socks for children, toothpaste, goodie bags, hygiene bags. I think you get about 5 of each of those. But the pens and pencils are almost unlimited. You get 96. They're all brand new, and highlighters and things like that. And I know it sounds like small things, but it really adds up. You get copy paper, at least 2 reams every month. It's just a lot of things that you get, a lot of different things. You get goggles. Last time they have special things that they highlight. Like I got like maybe 12 goggles at the last one this summer. Really, you know, goggles that they can use in classroom experiments or whatever you use them for. And just nice books from every age level, and sight word cards, and just everything that make a teacher's life easier. Folders for your children. So it's amazing. So just keep that in mind, okay? So moving right along, if you have a question or comment, please press 1. We're going to be wrapping it up in a little bit and going to hear Imam W.D. Muhammad Rahim Allah Alay. We are so grateful that you joined us tonight. And we have a question. We're going to go to 347-751. Assalamu alaikum and welcome to Narrative Aspirations. Sister Mahasin.
Wa alaikum assalam. How are you doing, Sister Kalida?
I am well. How are you, Sister Mahasin? It's been a while.
It's been a while. I reached out for you today, so it appears that your number has changed.
Oh, no, it should have been. I'll tell you what we're doing today. Though. Go ahead. It shouldn't be changed. I'm gonna have to.
Okay.
I'm gonna call you, inshallah. But can you have a question or comment?
Yeah, I wanted you to repeat the contact for the supplies and access to help students be fully connected, fully supplied for the start of school. It is that time. Could
yes,
you repeat
ma'am.
That, please?
Correct. Classroom Central, classroomcentral.org. Let me just type it in to make sure it's .org. So it says Classroom Central Incorporated. It's a nonprofit organization on Wilkerson Boulevard in Charlotte, North Carolina. But it is an amazing place. They have everything packaged neatly in Ziploc bags, some of them, and some of them are just in brand new. Everything's brand new. But if they have to, you know, pull parts of the, it's because they have a specific quantity. And you can scan it and barcode it. It's very professional. You can order it or you can have it prepackaged before you get there. When you go into your email, they send out to teachers. It says if you want to order online, and they'll pack your bags for you. The reason I like to go in person, though, because you get some more extra things, like the big poster boards. You get the, I like to choose my things and coordinate my colors. But sometimes I have one online, especially during COVID. But
yeah,
it's very nice. And they also have like a scanner where people can, they instead of giving the big clipboard when you walk through the door, it's like a big shopping supermarket, but it's school, it's supplies, it's all kinds of supplies, not just for school. You can use them interchangeably for your business or whatever, but it's amazing. So it's Classroom Central Incorporated.
Incorporated. Definitely go there. Do you know if this option is located in any other cities besides Charlotte?
Don't. I just know it from Charlotte, and I think it may be. But I think it was something local that was started because they've seen the progress. They really grew. Even from last year, they expanded their business and they expanded the building. And so, like I said, and you should be surprised. A lot of the people in there are our pioneer people from all races and faith traditions. They're in there packing up things. They're happy, too. I said, they just really like helping teachers. So it's a very, very great environment.
Yeah. And it's at a time in our lives where nationally we need a group effort towards support for teachers. This is probably going to be a challenging year. A lot of things to be decided about the welfare of students, increasing the safety and security of our schools, and just encouraging teachers. This is a stringent type of effort that all teachers are up against, the nurturing and development and educating of our youth. So we want them to know as a community that we support their efforts and the challenges that they face, and will take every advantage to make their work easier and a more pleasant environment in the school. I work with the Muhammad School Network organization and committee, and of course we're concerned with our schools having receiving the same assistance from our community, and the levity and the ongoing concern for community support. So I'd like to encourage all of our listeners on your program to support and remember their local Clara Muhammad School, as well as public schools, safety and security for all children. So anyway, I'll stop right there. It's good to hear you making that encouragement and keeping us abreast of opportunities that will benefit us. Thank you so much, Kalida. Alhamdulillah.
Thank you. Alhamdulillah. Thank you so much, Ismail Hassan, and look forward to hearing from you. Thank you, and that is absolutely true. And being that you said safety, that's the next thing I'm going to talk about before we go to Imam W.D. Muhammad. We're getting ready to go in within the next 5 minutes, inshallah. But we had an active shooter training today, and it was very different. It was by a police officer, and he said we're no longer going to play to the beat of their police. We're not, so we have permission to fight back, basically, and they gave us some strategies on what to do, but even that is changing. You know, he's like, no, we're not hiding under tables, we're not doing things that make us sitting ducks, so to speak, but we're being strategic and we're looking for ways, and I don't want to say I'm online, to protect our teachers and our students, and just even that is going to not being the victim, but being the person who's going to have a plan if something happens, and how, and they gave us some strategies, and also a toolkit that we can use as teachers. So just keep us in your duas. And it was 2.5 hours. It was extensive. He started out with showing us a pretty in-depth film on the previous school shootings here in the United States, which was kind of surprising. And even we listened into a recorded call from one of the teachers who returned to Allah, and we asked Allah to have mercy on her soul and grant her Jannah. But it was just a very, and it was off campus. It was with a police officer, and he showed us the faces of the students. It was just very in depth. But then after he did all that, he gave us strategies, and he also gave us some things that we can do in our classroom to stay alive. It's no longer hide and sit, but we get out. But I don't want to give all the strategies out. And then there's a certain steps that we do But then, you know, and then, of course, the rest is up to Allah, but we're not sitting victims, inshallah. So keep us in your du'as, and I do have a few more, one more question that we're going to take. Thank you so much, Sister Mahasin.
Okay. Before we go, I would like to refer all the listeners to an exceptional statement by a student on Twitter, and it's called "Teachers Carrying Firearms Does Not Make Us Safer." And I'm wondering if you have a moment, I'd like to play this over to you, if it will come through. Do you mind?
Not at all. Yes, please do.
Okay. It's by promoted by the Civil Justice Subcommittee, and it's a statement by a student. Here it is. Hold on, please. Hold on. Wouldn't you know it? I've been playing it. Okay, here it goes. Okay, why don't you go ahead and take that other call, and I'll still try to get it to come on. Kalita, I apologize.
No worries. Thank you for joining us. We're going to go to 914-434. Assalamu alaikum. And welcome to Narrative Aspirations. Is this Brother Muhammad Sharif?
Yeah, I was muted. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. Welcome.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Yeah, I just got on a few minutes ago, and I think I heard Sister Mahas was speaking about Clara Muhammad School, I believe. So,
yes.
So I was calling, asking anyone if y'all had gotten the two books by Dr. Zakia Muhammad. The book is The Mother of the Nation, Clara Evans Muhammad, wife of Elijah Muhammad, mother of Imam Bebedeen Muhammad. There are two books, you know, by Dr. R. Zakia Muhammad. Yeah, I just thought we are trying to make it known about these two books on Sister Clara. Yeah. Did you know about them?
Can you share that information with us so we can all know the titles and how to access them?
Oh yes. Yeah, I had heard about them earlier before, but then it brought to my attention again when the Muslim Journal, the May 13th through the 19th issue of the Muslim Journal, and on page 3, as a Mother's Day salute to Clara Muhammad, Mother Nation. And that was by Imam Earl Alamein out of Baltimore. So he had pictures of one of the books. I think the book, book one, Sister Clara, she didn't have on glasses then. And book two, the latter years, 1930 to 1972. So then I saw it in the Muslim Journal also. I thought, well, people don't get the Muslim Journal, so I thought I would pass this information on. Yeah, now, I know you can get it. I know that the sister, that's a distributor of the books, I think it's Amira Muhammad, out of Chicago, I believe it is. So anyway, I don't have the information right now. But also, you can get it on Amazon, because I was telling another brother about the book. He said, yeah, I got book one some time ago when it first came out, 2022. So I said, okay, well, I'll just go to Amazon and get book two. So that you, if you can't get in touch with Sister Amira, you can get it from Amazon. So that means a lot of people that we probably never get in contact and never know about was on Amazon. You know, a whole lot of people go on Amazon and we'll never know who they are or just don't come in contact with them. So they got the book. No. So that's that way you can get it. If you can't get it to Sister Nira or anyone else, you can get it on Amazon. Both books, book one and book two.
Awesome. Thank you so much for sharing that vital information with us. Yes, and we definitely need to support our Sister Claire Muhammad schools. We see the passion that she had, and we see the purpose even now. It is needed more now than ever. So thank you so much, Brother Muhammad Sharif, for sharing that information.
Okay, you're quite welcome. All right.
All right. So what we're going to do is we're going to go
assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. Thank you. Wa alaikum assalam. Imam W.D. Muhammad.
Yes.
Assalamu alaikum, Sister Kalina.
Yes, ma'am.
Assalamu alaikum. I've continued to try to pull that up, but one can go to twitter.com and look for the article published by the Timothy Holler newspaper, sponsored by the Civil Justice Subcommittee, where a student made a presentation on a bill that's being considered for passage about teachers carrying firearms does not make us safer. And it's an African-American student, and a very impassioned appeal, very impassioned, with excellent reason behind how students feel of going to school with teachers that are armed. Very, very. So, inshallah.
Alhamdulillah. Thank you for sharing that information. Thank you. We definitely want to hear that perspective as well.
Dear. All right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Assalamu alaikum. You're welcome.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Yeah, let me ask again, what was the name of the book that you were speaking about, Mahasan? Civil?
Civil?
Mm-hmm. Did you get it, Sister Kalina?
Yes, Sister Mahasa, can you repeat that book, please? Yes, sir.
Yes, it's an article in the newspaper about a GOP bill that's going to be passed, that the Republicans are trying to pass it to arm teachers in the classroom, and it's on Twitter. I'm recommending that people go to Twitter for more information. Published the article was published by the Tennessee Holler newspaper. Okay.
Oh, thank you. That is an excellent topic. Excellent. We may be looking more into that for next week. Thank you. Assalamu alaikum.
Oh,
Allah, give us the excellence in this life.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead, Sister Mahasan.
Please finish your dua.
Oh, Allah, give us the excellence in this life and the excellence in the life of the hereafter, and protect us from the torment and the punishment of the hellfire. O Allah, let our entrance be by the gate of truth and honor, and our exit be by the gate of truth and honor, and grant us from near thee power to assist us. Ameen.
Ameen.
Amen. With environment, with the right environment, other members of the human race, you grew up and you became like us. You stood up and you joined the adults walking on 2 feet and doing marvelous things with your brain and your heart and etc. This is a process. This is evolving. The community is also expected to evolve and get better and grow more and more and more. It's not just a statement of a fact or of our nature as a community, but it's also a revelation, is that we should constantly be in evolution. We should constantly be evolving. We are not yet the best we can be. We are far from it. So we should always understand that God expects us to grow and progress and become better and better. Not to regress, not to lose our balance and lose our intelligence and lose our good morals to end fighting and fighting with enemies outside and get thrown off balance and get thrown out of our true form. We have to get back our life. And what we need is with us. Allah reveals the Quran and it is complete. It's complete. It can take care of all of our needs. How can the Muslims get out of this trouble we're in? Go to the Quran. The answer is there. Go to Muhammad the Prophet. His way of expressing and living the religion of Islam. The answer is there. The Prophet said, don't be angry. Meaning, don't give in to the passion of anger. Don't let yourself give up your intelligence and your good nature and your good behavior to the passion of anger. And I think too many of us have been so pressured by bad circumstances in our life due to colonial occupation, wars, etc., and the denial of freedom in our own lands. I think we have been so pressured until we have been forced out of the Muslim into the angry creature. The angry creature. The challenges for the Ummah and the responsibility of Muslims in America. That's what I'm attempting to address. In the Quran, we read, "Our Lord, for sure you are gathering the people and Nas for a day about which there will be no doubt." So this God saying he's gathering the whole of mankind, not just Muslims. He's gathering his creation, all of the people he created. He's gathering them together. It's a process that starts way back in time, in antiquity, and even maybe further back than antiquity. It is a process that starts. As a student of science, we look at community life and we understand that community life has its own forces working. Not dictated by one person or by all the people thinking and saying this is how it's going to happen or this is how we're going to progress, this is how we're going to evolve. No. Nature itself is working. Nature produced phenomena. And also, the intelligence of man, the intellect. And the activity of the intellect. And the moral nature. And the activity of the moral nature. All of these things are working and working to bring about change for the better. However, sometimes the same forces will work and set us back or even turn us against each other. But man, society eventually overcomes the moral nature, the intelligence, eventually wins out against attempts by human thinking and human behavior and activities to set it back, to set society back. Society recovers. For a long time, the world was in darkness. Many generations in darkness. Europe was in darkness. And then the time came for Muhammad the Prophet to become a world leader, the world leader. And he became the world leader, giving the Quran and explaining and teaching the Quran. A new light lit the world and brought about a change for the better. And the humanity began to grow again as God intended for humanity to grow. Civilizations became true to the word. And we lost that, though. In time, we lost it. But it will come back. That's the community dynamics working. Working even when we are not conscious of what's going on or not conscious of what to do. The community dynamics are working. And God calls us in the Quran, Nas, and Nas, and Nas. And Nas suggests, the term and Nas suggests, friendliness, kindness. People want to be with each other because of the goodness of the human heart. Other term could have been used. God says he is gathering a nas. People who want to be with each other because of the goodness of their hearts. And when we don't give the right treatment, we open our hearts to people and they return coldness for warmth, coldness for warmth. It turns us off. And I've heard some of us say, oh, I don't want to be around them. They're not even human. Oh, I don't want to be around them. They're not even human. And Nas, and Nas. God is gathering and Nas for a day about which there will be no doubt. All of us. At this point, I want to say this. And I'm going to say it at this point. I had it for later, but I'm going to say it right now. What we need in America as Muslims, we need what I asked our African-American brothers to give us. A leadership group. An intelligentsia. A leadership group. We need a leadership group, not necessarily from one color or another color or from one nationality or another or from one ethnic group or another. But let's look for the khuluq that our brother gave us good instructions on. Let's look for the khuluq for those who have the inner picture, the inner image that Allah wants. Let us look for that in leaders. Don't look for the color, don't look for the language, the race, or nothing, the nationality. Look for the khuluq. And when we find the khuluq in those brothers, let us become a fraternity of friends. Friends to be the protector of our brothers and sisters throughout America. Aren't we supposed to be our brothers and the wali of our brothers and sisters? Yes, sir. Waliullah and waliyu our brothers and sisters? Yes. So let us form a group like that. And I'm ready to be a member of that group right now. And I don't care who be the emir.
Takbir!
As long as the emir have what we want in all of us, and that's the khuluq that Allah wants in us. The picture and image, the inner person. And I'm telling you, we can do wonders here in this country. You know, there's a word, Inas. Inas. Inas means, it refers to the sociable nature. The sociable nature. And Enas are people with the Enas. They have the sociable nature. America is growing more and more as a country of many nationals, many ethnic groups, and many nationals. This is a good time for us. Democracy, as we know it in the political history of the United States of America, democracy is a watered-down form of the shura and the society we can have with a true shura. Democracy is a weak form of that. It could never be equal to what God has revealed for us. God says in the Quran, لِكُلِّنْ جَعَلْنَا مِنْكُمْ شِرْعَةً وَمِنْهَاجًا وَلَوْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ لَجَعَلَكُمْ أُمَّةً وَاحِدَةً وَلَكِنْ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ فِي مَا أَتَاكُمْ فَاسْتَبِقُوا الْخَيْرَاتِ إِلَى اللَّهِ مَرْجِئُكُمْ جَمِيعًا فَيُنَبِّئُكُمْ بِمَا كُنْتُمْ فِيهِ تَكْتَلِفُونَ. For every people he has given a law and a way, a methodology. And if God had so willed, he could have made you all one united community. But it is that he will try you in what you are given. Try you, test you in what you are given. What has God given us? He's given us the Quran. He's given us the way of our prophet. He's given us Tawheed, the concept of Tawheed. He's given us Tawheed. He's given us the belief in one creator and the unity of his works. The unity of his works. And his works is everything in the heavens, everything in the skies, and everything in the earth, and everything in man. That's his works. He have given us the idea of the unity of this. That this system is one continuous logic. The logic is not violated. It is one continuous logic. God is one, the maker, the designer, the artist is one. His works is one. Humans are one. Humans are one. So Allah wants us to see the one picture for human beings. He says that he has made you in the bellies or in the bodies or stomachs of your mothers. And he has made your form or your pictures beautiful, excellent, excellent. Then he says, he speaks of us in one picture, one picture. So he made the African, he made the Asian, he made the European, he made all of us in our mothers. But he made one picture and he made it most excellent. What is the one picture? The one identity in common. The one identity that we have in common, equally. When the baby comes here from black woman, white woman, red woman, yellow woman, no matter what she is, the baby comes here all the same. The baby make the same sounds. The baby wants the same thing. The baby doesn't know any of our languages. The baby has to learn all these different languages. The baby knows nothing about our nationality. The baby has to learn our nationality. The baby knows nothing about our beautiful cultures and our ethnic foods and dress. So that's why Allah wants us to go to the Kaaba. He wants us to go to Masjid al-Haram with all the dress off, men. It ain't the women that's got the problem. It's us. We got the problem. Take the clothes off, man, and put on the baby wrap. Put on the baby wrap. Wrap the body in the baby wrap. Go back to your original nature. And if you go back there and your heart is in it and your spirit is in it, your mind and soul is in it, when you get back home, if you were messed up, you are a new creation.
Takbir!
Allahu Akbar.
Takbir!
Allahu Akbar. Lastly, my dear brothers and sisters, lastly, the name Muslim. You know, we are to call ourselves Muslims. And we are told by our prophet that everybody, not just us, but everybody is born Muslim. Isn't that what he said? I should make a dua and just go sit down now. I have come to believe with all of my heart, soul, and mind that Allah is introducing through Muhammad a term for us to use instead of human. We are not to say human, we say Muslim. Thank you very much. May God forgive us and guide us and have mercy on us always.
May Allah reward you all, inshallah. Please forgive me. As Muslims in this country or anywhere else, especially those whom Allah has blessed with the inclination to share the message of Islam with others, please don't look at a kafir as a kafir. Are you listening to me? Alhamdulillah, many of you are here and our esteemed and beloved Ustaz Muhammad Waris al-Din, with his long, beautiful history, I'm sure you know that. And those who are in, like, at one time some were non-Muslim. At some time some were non-Muslim. But what counts is how we end, as it was mentioned yesterday, remember. What counts is how we end. Al-A'malu bi-khawatimiha, as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us, deeds are in accordance to the way they end. The worth of deed is in accordance with the way they end. So if somebody who is not a Muslim, we look at them in a state of mind of a current kafir, you know what psychologically will happen to us? And our attitude towards them will be one that is lacking compassion and even lacking justice. Lacking justice. For we have pointed out that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Allah rather taught us and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that when we lack compassion, when we lack magnanimity and we rely only on justice, we will do injustice. When we rely only on justice, if we do at all, and we must be people just, but if we are justice only oriented, we will violate justice. The buffer zone that Allah made for us is ihsan, is compassion, forgiveness, mercy, merciful love must be there as well. So don't look as a kafir, as a current kafir, but as a potential Muslim. And you have not done anything different. It's the state of mind. Is the state of mind. Don't look at them as a current kafir in your mind, but as a potential Muslim. Don't you want people to treat us that way? Yes, we want. Don't look at a current disobedient person of Allah Azza wa Jal as Muslim, as fasiq. But look at him or her as a potential righteous mu'min. As a potential righteous mu'min. And that will help me not commit injustice in their rights. And help me in my way of sharing this beautiful message of Tawheed and of Akhlaq with others, my dear brothers and sisters. There is so more to be said, but inshallah ta'ala, I will suffice myself with these few reminders to myself first, ya'lam Allah, then to all of you, my dear brothers and sisters, in terms of what is our ethical and moral duty as Muslims in this land. And under the difficult circumstances, yes, that this ummah is going through and Muslims in this country are going through, just remember sabr. Just remember the test that we spoke about last night and the grace of trial and the grace of calamity. Remember all of that. And remember what earlier ones amongst the believers have gone through of challenges and difficulties beyond our measurement. And Allah Azza wa Jal Subhanahu wa ta'ala brought only beautiful fruits through their forbearance and through their patience. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله العظيم لي ولكم. If I said anything right, it is indeed from Allah Azza wa Jal alone. Anything improper or incorrect, it is my own ignorance, the weakness of my own self, and the impact of the devil upon myself. I seek refuge in Allah Azza wa Jal, that I remind you of him, and yet myself forget him. And let us all welcome Ustaz Muhammad Warif al-Din, Hafizah Allah.
Takbir! Takbir! Masha Allah. Now, the moment is here. I'm going to call upon our esteemed guest, our beloved Imam, the Honorable Imam Waris Din Muhammad, to please come to the stage. Takbir! Alhamdulillah, Dr. Khurshid Khan is here with us, inshallah. When the news went out, the first person that we talked to, he said, "Oh, he's not going to come." I said, "Oh, Imam Sulaiman Amin doesn't think so. Imam Furqan does not think so. Brother Hassan Shakir does not think so. Brother Habiba Shakir does not think so. Our brother Hamid Ali Khan is almost living in Masjid al-Islam. He does not think so."
There must be something wrong with the invitation that goes out. If our invitation is sincere enough, for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for the glory of Islam and Muslims in Atlanta, Georgia, South and beyond, inshallah, He will be with us. And here we go. Takbir! Takbir! I'm not qualified enough to present the profile of the Honorable Imam, but I have to start somewhere and I have to say something. There is some personal experience that I want to share, that we are not together from today. When I was living far away overseas and growing up in the 50s, 60s, 70s, I read everything that came in black and white about America. I had pen friends here. It was so much so that when I came in here about 20, 21 years ago, I was surprised that a lot of people did not know what has been going on in this country. I say, wow. And still, a lot of times we feel like we are unaware of each other's existence, let alone the coexistence. That we are here. We are a reality. And we are not the ones who are going to begin something new. We have to find the right people who had already started this journey. And to my information, this journey started back in 1975, when the Honorable Imam inherited the Nation of Islam in this country. We didn't know what was going on, but we have been reading, we have been very happy and really proud when we used to read articles that, you know, Muslims are growing and this is happening and that is happening. We were hearing good things. So we had some sense that there is some kind of change. But really, to mention to you today, like Sheikh Mukhtar was talking about Ta'aruf, the Imam started their Ta'aruf back in 1975 when he lifted the color ban from the Nation of Islam right away. Anybody can be a member. When he instituted the practice of fasting in the Nation of Islam the same year, when he instituted the formal prayers, salat, the whole system of salat, the same year, when he called upon the African Americans, the Bilalians, we used to talk about the Bilalians in our college days. Oh, the Bilalians. To adopt Muslim names and African American names. And of course, they did. And they are doing the same today. The next year, he instituted Jummah prayer And the next year led a delegation of 300 members on Hajj pilgrimage. This is now an Ummah, a full-fledged Ummah. This is now the deen which is called Islam, established. And the struggle doesn't stop here. It goes on and on and on till it reaches all the way to St. Peter's Square in 1999. And the Imam addresses 100,000. And you know who are there in St. Peter's Square? Non-Muslims, our potential Muslims, like Sheikh just said. He explored them in 1999 and took the message to them, to the 100,000 of them, in the presence of Pope John Paul II. Takbir! Takbir! So Alhamdulillah, I'm very happy. Of course, we are all very happy. I'm talking on behalf of you, brothers and sisters. I'm not talking about myself. That we brought the sincere and the beloved and the honorable leadership to this little stage. This is a very little stage for your personality. But that also makes us proud of you. And this also encourages us a lot. This also helps us to know each other, to feel each other. And it's not going to stop here, inshallah. We will be working together day and night, inshallah. And this is not one-sided. Imam Playman Amin even said that with this we can start a movement, after which at least our communities that we live in, they are very close to us, they all come in the fold of Islam. You will hardly find a non-Muslim in our brothers, in our communities, in our sisters. And inshallah, that's our intention. And we ask for your support and dua, our dear Imam. I will stop there because the count will go on and on and on. And I would request our Amir of the Islamic Circle of North America, for the whole world I should say, because it's North America, you know, superpower. Dr. Khurshid Khan to welcome the Honorable Imam, inshallah.
Allahu Akbar. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salam ala Rasulil Amin. Assalamu alaikum rahmatullah. Before I start, I want to request Brother Playman Amin, Imam Playman Amin, to please come over here. And I also want to invite my dear friend Imam Pasha over here, please. Thank you. Imam, dear Imam, it's really a pleasure and an honor to have you here amongst us. We are very grateful to you that you took time out of your very busy schedule, and we are thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he gave you this tawfiq that you were able to come and join us. May Allah bless you and keep you in good health and long life, inshallah. I just want to make 2 points. Number one, it's Imam Warisuddin Muhammad who talked with Malcolm X about Islam, and it resulted in him becoming Malik Shabazz. Allahu Akbar. And I know he has been talking with Farah Khan for a long time. I was just talking with him, reminding him, and he knows very well that I attended a meeting about, I don't know, 12, 13, 15 years ago in Chicago, when Farah Khan and Imam and Imam Siraj and many other leaders with the Imam Dr. Nasif Abdullah were there, and we were talking with Farah Khan, and Imam said that I don't trust him. I know him from the very childhood, but maybe this time he's telling the truth. Inshallah, as a potential Muslim, we never give up. The hidayah is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our job is to try, inshallah. Once again, Imam, because they're all waiting for you to talk. So I will cut short my remarks, except that we do have a little token of love and appreciation for your leadership and service to the Muslim, not over in this continent, but all over the world. I hope you will please accept it. Let me read what it says. I have to find my glasses first. On behalf of the American Muslim community, the Islamic Circle of North America presents Imam Warisuddin Muhammad Lifetime Achievement Award for promoting peace and justice in America for people of all races and religions. Atlanta, Georgia, November 25, 2006.
Takbir! Takbir! Takbir!
I present the Imam to you, brothers and sisters.
Dear Muslims, dear believers, brothers and sisters, peace be unto you. Assalamu alaikum. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له صلى الله عليه على محمد عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم وبعد This is a great pleasure for us and honor for us, those of my supporters, my office, my family first of all, my office and those in an association with this leadership that I represent. It is a great honor and a great pleasure that we have been invited here on this occasion with ICNA and its leaders, our esteemed brothers, highly esteemed brothers in al-Islam. It is a great honor for us to be invited here for this occasion. Thank you so much. God says of us, كُنْتُمْ خَيْرَ أُمَّةً أُخْرِجَتْ لِلنَّاسِ. You are the best community evolved for the good of all people or for the good of mankind. The word is kuntum, kuntum. And kuntum means were, not is, not was, means you were. You were. Not is and not was. You were. And the word ukhrijat should be connected with kuntum. Because God created us with a potential for all the good that we have realized following our best motivations or our best inclinations. All the good that we realized was in us already. God created us like a plant, he says, like a seed. And the seed has to have the right environment and the right support for its life. When it gets it, then what comes out of a little seed? The life that God designed to come out of that seed. And God has designed the life that he wants in us. He has designed it in us. And it's like a seed. And when it gets the right environment, the right support for it, then it manifests. It comes out. It expresses itself. And it becomes a very beautiful, beautiful creation. And that was Muhammad, the prophet. And that is every believer who will give himself to his best feelings, his best spirit, his best motivations. If we will give ourselves to that, then we will grow into the creature or the creation that Allah wants us to have. And Allah has given us his own word, the Quran, through Muhammad the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Quran. And Allah says in one of the chapters of the Quran, Allah says, Ar-Rahmanu 'allama al-Quran khalaqa al-insan. That the God, the merciful God, beneficent and merciful God, that he taught the Quran. He taught the Quran to Muhammad. خَلَقَ الْإِنسَانِ, created the human person. So there is the first creation and there is the second creation. And Muhammad the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he had already lived a perfect, excellent human life. And he was 40 years old. And his people had witnessed that his life had been such. And God chose him and made him a messenger to all the world, to all the worlds. Rahmatan lil alameen, a mercy to all the worlds. So here is the first creation that had been kept intact, had not been broken or corrupted. And Muhammad had lived that first creation for 40 years, and then he sought God for help. And God responded to his call for help, and he became God's messenger. And then God began to give him Quran, and Quran created another environment for him, a word environment. A spiritual word environment was created for Muhammad the Prophet. And God taught him with the revelation, the Quran, and he became a new creation, and illuminated the whole world. And he's still illuminating the world. Now, that is the leader of the Ummah. Thank God for him. That is the leader of our Ummah, Muhammad the Prophet. And God says of the Ummah, you are, but the kuntum is revelatory, is revealing something. And the ukhrijat is the connection we should make, that he had to bring us out. We were in our existence. We were in matter existing, but existing as a seed, needing the right environment and the right support for it to manifest or to materialize. And we got that with the Quran and Muhammad's teaching, with his example. We got that, and we materialized. We manifested. We materialized as the best community on this planet Earth. And where is that community now? It's in serious trouble. It's in bad shape. uh,
God, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says that He created everything and He inscribed upon everything excellence. If we are students of science, I'm a student of science. All my life I've been a student of science. In my formal sitting school situation, I was a student of science. All my life I'm a student of science. This creation is the work of God, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I love God and I love to know His works so I can know more about Him. So I love science. And in science, they tell us that everything has evolved from a more simple condition or a more simple composition. And like the germ of the human being, that's also